Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I apologize. We had some technical difficulties that we had to take care of before it would allow us to go live on air. This is your host for today, Minister Tabika Garnes, and I will be sharing with you all today. Apostle is not available this morning, but all is well with her. Again, I just thank you for joining us. You know, I always say, you could be still sleeping, enjoying your Saturday morning, but you decided to join us this morning, and we greatly appreciate the time that you give up. You give up a whole hour just to be with us on air, and we do appreciate that. Before we get started, I do want to give our quick shout-outs. Good morning to Miss Joyce here in Baltimore. Good morning, good morning, good morning to Lady Joyce in New York. Good morning to Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn, Prophet Michael Crawford and his wife, Pastor Songbird. Good morning, good morning. If I missed you, please don't take it personal. I know Apostle, she seems to remember a lot of those people that she gives shout-outs to on Saturday morning. So if I did not mention your name, please forgive me. Amen. So we're going to start out this morning in prayer because prayer is very important to get us through the day. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you for another morning that you allow us to see, Lord God. We thank you that you woke us up, that we didn't experience any hurt, harm, or danger throughout the night, Lord God, that our angels were watching over us, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we just give you praise, Lord, because there is none like you. And every time we may face a hardship, a trial, or a tribulation, God, you are right there with us. Your word says that you would never leave us nor forsake us, God, and you are a God of your word. And we just want to say thank you for thinking about us. Thank you for pushing us to do better. Thank you, Father God, for making a way out of no way, for creating resources, Lord God, the things that we need to be successful here in the earth, oh God. We thank you for the calling on our lives, Lord God. We thank you for the people that you've placed in our life for whatever reason, Lord God. Help us to see why they're there, how we are to minister to them, how we are to encourage them, whatever ways we can help them, Lord God. Let us be able to recognize and discern when people are hurting, Lord, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Give us that gift, Lord God, where we can just look at somebody and may not know the extent of what they're going through, but have a ready word, have a word to give them that would give them hope, that would encourage them to continue to go forth and be all that you call them to be, Lord. And so, Father, I just thank you right now, person that visits this show, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. I thank you, Father God, that greater is he that is within us than he that is in this world, Lord God. And we just come to give you praise, and we glorify you, we honor you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. So this morning, our topic that I will be talking about is the importance of prayer. Yes, the importance of prayer. What I just got finished doing is praying. And just want to briefly lift up or talk about this little girl that was shot here in Baltimore, Maryland, in the city of Baltimore. She was in, I guess, her mom's car, someone's car. And somehow she was shot, and the little girl is in the hospital fighting for her life. She's 7 years old. Her name is Taylor. So we're going to, you know, lift her up in prayer before the show ends. And on social media, I see people posting on their Facebook and Instagram pages, you know, to pray for Taylor, you know, lift her up in prayer. And just wanting people to be aware of what happened to her. And when I think about it, I wonder, do these people understand or know the importance of prayer? What prayer can do, how it can change a situation? Or is it just like, you know, pray for her? You know, some people just say they pray.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision. Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Sorry about that. I don't know why that happened, but hopefully it won't happen again. So as I was saying, we understand the depth of what prayer is and how it works. And yes, it is good that people are saying to lift her up in prayer. Yes, it is. But I don't know if people really understand the magnitude of what prayer does. So I just wanted to share a few reasons. It's 12 reasons to pray. This it is called Prayer Has Its Reasons, and it comes from the website focusonthefamily.com. So I don't know if I'll get through all 12 reasons this morning, but I'm going to share some. The first one is God's word calls us to pray. One key reason to pray is because God has commanded us to pray. So we are obedient if we are to be obedient to his will, then prayer must be part of our life in him. And then it lists some passages from the Bible, some scriptures from the Bible to back up this reason. One of them is pray for those who persecute you. That's from Matthew 5:44. All right, pray for those who persecute you. So we know that a lot of times we, in our lifetime, we come across people that may not like us or really care for us. And sometimes we don't even know the reason why they act that way towards us. But the Bible says to pray for those who persecute you. And for some people, that may be really hard to do because the flesh, you know, wants to say, you know, that person doesn't even like me. So why should I be praying for them? And the thing in that is that the Bible commanded us to do it anyway. So even if it's something that doesn't seem logical to you, or if it's something that you feel like you don't want to do because that's your flesh rising up, you should do it anyway. You should be ready to receive the blessings from your obedience. So if the word says to pray for those who persecute you, don't allow your flesh to get in the way and stop that which God has ordained or created for you to do. What comes out of our obedience, I don't think people really understand or realize what comes from our obedience to God's word. I've said this many of times that many blessings are held up because we don't want to be obedient. We want to continue to do what we want to do. And it's just like a parent, you know, a parent whose child, you know, when children do well, they get rewarded for their obedience. When they're obedient, they get rewarded for it. You know, who would really reward a disobedient child? Which I know in these days or times that may be going on, but that's not the way that it's supposed to be. So Romans 12:12 says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Faithful, joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So in everything, we are to pray. We are to pray. We are to pray. Prayer should become a lifestyle, not just when things are going wrong, but all the time. Prayer should be going on. Ephesians 6:18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." Pray in the Spirit. So those that know how to speak in our heavenly language, or they may call it tongue, different tongues, we may not know what we're saying when we're speaking in our tongues, but the word says that we pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So there may be times where we're speaking in tongues and we're not aware of what we're saying, but God is listening. So that is really all that matters. And then he may give us the interpretation through someone else. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's from Philippians 4 and 6. So the word tells us don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, also with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So we in the Bible, we're still getting direction. We get direction from everything that we need in life. You know, the word directs us, guides us, and gives us exactly what we need. And so even in prayer, it tells us how to pray. We are to devote ourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That's from Colossians 4 and 2. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says, pray continually. And so prayer is an act of obedience. God calls us to pray, and we must respond. The second reason is Jesus prayed regularly. Why did Jesus pray? One reason he prayed was as an example so that we could learn from him. The Gospels are full of references to the prayers of Christ, including these examples. This first one is from Matthew 14 and 23. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. So that tells us that we should be by ourselves praying, you know, in a quiet place where there's no distractions, you know, where, you know, sometimes for me, when I begin to pray, distractions come, and they come, and they come from every which way. And one thing I need to start doing is when it's my prayer time, I need to turn my phone off, because that's when the phone starts ringing or something, like my mind will shift somewhere else and it's like, oh, you forgot to look up, you know, A, B, and C. And then before I know it, I've picked up my phone and I'm looking at something, and then I'm catching myself like, no, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to get back to, you know, praying. So I'm going to discipline myself when during my prayer time, when I know that the time that I'm supposed to be praying, I cut my phone off so that those distractions, you know, won't be there. And that temptation to pick up the phone and search the internet for something won't be there because I've cut my phone off. And for me to do that means I have to now cut my phone back on, wait for it to restart and all that. So, yeah, I think that's what I'll start doing, is turning my phone off. Amen. Mark 1 and 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. So in this, it says that he got up very early in the morning, while it was still dark. He got up. Oh, wow. Okay. So say that I'm not a morning person, and I don't want to keep speaking that over my life. So I just don't say it. I don't want to say it. I'm doing my best to be more cognizant of me saying it. So when I think of it, I won't let it come out of my mouth. I'm trying to watch the words that I say. So instead, it's like, okay, I push myself to get up because I do want to be a morning person. I do want to start my day off early, because it seems like when you start your day off early, your day seems longer. And if you start it off in prayer, your day is more productive and you're not as easily agitated and annoyed by little things that shouldn't even cause you to be agitated and annoyed. So if Jesus got up very early in the morning while it was still dark, then I should be able to do the same. And then at that, you know, there are still times where you can go back to sleep. It doesn't mean that, you know, once you get up, you have to be woke for the rest of the day. You could go back, depending on what time you have to be to work, and go back to sleep before it's time for you to go to work. But the thing is to follow the things that Jesus did. That is what we really are supposed to be doing, is following what Jesus did. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Yeah. So for me, I really only have my house to pray in on a daily basis. But also I can go in my car and pray. It's been times where I've walked out to the car and just sat in a car and prayed, and just it was a peace. It was peaceful to do, like hearing the birds chirping and looking at the sun shining. And because my block is quiet, you know, it wasn't kids outside running up and down the street. So in my car, you know, where I live right now, it's pretty quiet. It's pretty peaceful. So that's another place where I can go to pray. The other place that I also wanted to go was like to the park, find a nice little quiet park and just go there and pray. So there are other places other than your home where you can go and pray, because I know that even for me, the inside of the house can be a distraction for me. But I noticed that if I go outside, you know, it's peaceful out there in the car. It's not too many things you can do outside sitting in the car. Another scripture is from Luke 6:12. It says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. How lovely that would be to spend a whole night just praying. And that is a discipline that you have to teach yourself. Because when you think about, you know, just praying all day, can you imagine how empowered and how filled you would be if you could just take 24 hours and just pray the whole 24 hours, you know. To some people that may be impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. If Jesus did it, so can we. I mean, there may have to be a few breaks in between, but just imagine how filled we would be from that. Wow, I'm just getting filled just thinking about it. So, 10:1 says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And so Jesus knew that would come a time where they would be, you know, weary or overwhelmed or anxious or whatever those emotions that we go through as humans. But Jesus was the example. And he was right there with them. And though they might not have understood all the things that came with walking with Jesus, once, you know, Jesus went away, once he died on the cross, they began to understand why they walked through what they walked through when they were with him. And so, again, we should always pray and not give up, even when it gets to that point where it just seems like nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to change. Your breakthrough, it just seems like it's never going to come. You've been waiting for a long time. It's always good to pray and not give up, because we don't know when that promise is coming. And so the day that you give up might have been the day that your promise would manifest. So always pray and don't give up. The third reason is prayer is how we communicate with God. Prayer allows us to worship and praise the Lord. It also allows us to offer confession of our sins, which should lead to our genuine repentance. Moreover, prayer grants us the opportunity to present our request to God. All of these aspects of prayer involve communication with our Creator. He is personal, cares for us, and wants to commune with us through prayer. So the first, this is my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures. It's from 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. When I think about what is going on here in Maryland, especially in the city, and it's not just, you know, just in the city anymore. It's happening out in the county. The violence just the violence and just everything that comes with that. And when I think about, you know, our young people just being murdered just so early in life, and I think about, did they ever even think about God? I wonder, and it makes me sad, because they're living a lifestyle that is not pleasing to God. So it just makes me wonder if they ever took the time to receive salvation or to acknowledge that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. And I just think about, you know, them thinking, oh, yeah, I got the rest of my life to live right for Christ and, you know, all of that. And then they go outside and they never come home. And then they wake up and they're not where they thought they would be. And so with this, when I think about this scripture, it just makes me wonder if we would do this as the body of Christ together, as, on, you know, in unity, on one accord, the change that would take place just, you know, just here in Baltimore. Because it gives us specifics on what we are to do. It says we are to humble ourselves. It says that we are to pray. It says that we are to seek his face. And that tells us what he will do. He said that he will hear from heaven. He will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And so I really take this scripture to heart. Like, I really, really do. I try to picture that, you know, what does that look like? If we were to follow all of the instructions in this scripture, what would that look like? How would our land look like healed? How would Baltimore look like healed from daily murders? And it's not just targeted to men now. We have women, we have children, and we have older people being caught up in you know, what's going on. And sometimes I even think, who are these people behind what is going on? Do they not have a heart? Do they not have compassion? Do they not have loved ones to even think, like, if I was to do this to this person, what would somebody do to my mother or my brother or my sister? It makes me think, is it that many cold, heartless people out here that don't care about children? You know, females. I mean, I'm not saying that men lives don't matter. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, who are these cold, heartless people? And it just makes me understand or realize that there is a generation that has grown up without parents, without that authority in their lives to tell them what was right and what was wrong. There is a generation that has grown up without being loved or even shown love. A generation has grown up with, they had to take care of themselves and their brothers and sisters, or they were just, if they didn't have brothers and sisters, and they were just by themselves, lonely in the house for days at a time, in the dark, no gas and electric, no food. And so that caused their hearts to turn cold. If nowhere in there, then yes, they are cold and heartless. And it just grieves me. It grieves me. It grieves me to know that there are young people out there that may never know the love of Christ. And so, as the body of Christ, we should be the ones to make the difference. You are listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. This is your host for today, Minister Tabika Garnes. And if there's anyone that would like to share, comment, please press 1 on your keypad so that I can allow you to speak. This morning we're talking about the importance of prayer. Prayer should be a part of our daily lifestyle, and it's an act of obedience to God. And so I'm on the third reason to pray. There are 12 reasons, and I'm on the third one, which is Prayer is how we communicate with God. The next scripture I wanted to share is Isaiah 40, 29 through 31. And it says, Isaiah wrote, "He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Amen. So even in this scripture, it tells us, you know, we get strength. We get God gives us strength when we're weary and increases us when we're weak. He knows that we're going to grow tired. He knows that we may stumble. But he says if we hope in him, he will renew our strength. And we will soar on wings like eagles. Eagles are big birds, you know, and they can see really well, and they're awesome to see. And it says that we will run and not grow weary. We will faint. We will walk and not be faint. So if we truly believe in the scriptures, if we truly believe in the scriptures, believe in our Father's promises and his word, when we come face to face with adversity, or when we're in the midst of a storm, or when something comes up and it's unexpected, if we were to really believe God's word, none of that stuff would affect us the way that it would, that it does. And yes, you know, I hear people say, "Well, I'm only human." Yeah, you're human, but you have power, you have authority. We are a part of the body of Christ, so that means that, yeah, we're going to go through some things, but we don't have to stay in that place. We don't have to stay there because of God's word and his promises. Take him up on his word. Take him up on his word. And I know, you know, it's been times for me where I've been depressed, and depression is not, even me thinking about it, it's not a good place to be in at all. It drains you. It drains all the hope out of you. It makes you feel so heavy. And so for people who suffer from that, you know, on a daily basis, you know, I feel for them, because it's not a good place to be in. It's not a good place to be in. And so for me, when I feel it coming on for whatever reason, I know what to do. And I know not to stay there. I know not to stay there. And I know sometimes it comes as a trick to trick you to going back into that place, because that's where, you know, the enemy can beat you up the most. And so I know not to stay in that place. It's a place that you don't want to rest in. And so, you know, for people that are suffering from depression, you know, I pray that spirit would just, you know, be gone. And that's why we need deliverance. We need deliverance on a daily basis, because deliverance will eradicate that spirit. And when we begin to fill ourselves with the word of God and praying, it can't come back. It may tap you on your shoulder and try to, but it can't. If you're filled with the word of God and you're praying on a daily basis, you're not going to even want that spirit back on you, because you knew how it felt and you know how you feel now after being delivered. You're not going to want to accept that spirit when it comes knocking back at your door. You're not going to open the door. You're going to look out the window and be like, "Oh, that's depression." Mm-mm. You're not going to even open the door. So if we would just take our Father up on his word, we would see so much of a difference in our lives. Like, you know, things could be going on around us and we could be praying, but we wouldn't allow what's going on to become a part of us or even affect us in a negative way. The next scripture is Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Let us so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Prayer is not just about asking for God's blessings, though we are welcome to do so, but it is about communication with the living God. Without communication, relationships fall apart. So, too, our relationship with God suffers when we do not communicate with him. And that is the truth. Because if you think about a friendship and you call this person your best friend, but something's going on with you and you just stop calling your best friend, and your best friend realized that, you know, she didn't talk to you in the last hour or, no, let me say the last 24 hours. Your friend didn't talk to you, didn't say, you know, you haven't heard from your friend. And you're thinking like, okay, you know, what's going on? So you're going to try to reach out to your friend to see what's going on. And when he or she doesn't answer, you're going to think something is wrong because you're used to talking to that person every day. And so when a person stops communicating with you, you're going to start to feel like you've done something to your friend. The friendship falls apart because you stop talking. That's the same thing with our Father. When we stop talking to him, it's not like he's allowing the relationship to fall apart on his end because he's always there. The relationship falls apart because of us, because we stopped talking to him. We stopped communicating with him. We stopped listening to him because he's still speaking, but we stopped listening. And when that happens, you can feel the change within you. I know for me, because I've been there where I haven't really prayed. I haven't talked to God. I haven't read my word. And it's so much torment that's going on within me. And I can tell, I can instantly tell and tell myself, okay, I know why you're going through this. You haven't been in God's face. You haven't been reading your word. You haven't been listening for his voice. And so there's a change that takes place within you when you're not reading and being eating of God's word. Changes something within you. It affects you within the inside. And so I don't think people really, you know, understand when we stop communicating with God. He's the power source. He is the power source. And it's just like unplugging something in your house. Like if you unplug your refrigerator, it's going to stop working. You know, if you unplug your TV, it's not going to work. And so that is the same thing with us. When we unplug from the source, which is our Father in heaven, we're not going to work. We're not going to be able to do anything. We're not going to be able to hear people when they're talking. We're not going to be able to understand when we're trying to learn something or do something. We're not going to get it because we have unplugged from the power source. He is the source which gives us power. He is the source which builds us up, that gives us strength. And so when we unplug from that, we basically don't work. We don't work because it was him giving us the power. It's just like a baby being in a mother's womb, and a baby is connected to the umbilical cord, and that's where the baby gets its nourishment. You know how the baby eats, how the baby grows. It's from that cord, from the mother to the baby. And if something happens to the cord, which provides the nourishment to the baby, the baby has a chance of not living. And so it's the same thing with us. When we unplug from Christ, we have that chance, that there may be that chance that we may not live. So let's continue to keep being connected. Reason 4 says, prayer allows us to participate in God's works. Does God need our help? No. He is all-powerful and in control of everything in his creation. Why do we need to pray? Because prayer is the means God has ordained for some things to happen. Prayer, for instance, helps others know the love of Jesus. Prayer can clear human obstacles out of the way in order for God to work. It is not that God can't work without our prayers, but that he has established prayer as part of his plan for accomplishing his will in this world. So prayer is basically us communicating to God. We're having a conversation with him. You know, we're telling him what we need, you know, what we desire. We're praying for other people and their needs and their healing and their deliverance. So we're actually having, we're communicating with him. So when we stop praying, that means we stop communicating with him. So strong, keep us lifted. And prayer is the answer to everything. I mean, everything that you could ever think of, prayer is the answer to it. And, you know, as some people, when they're going through, they say, I don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. You know, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what you have to say. And for me, it's almost like, well, I can't really help you, because if you don't want me to talk about Christ, I don't know how I can really help you. We do have a caller. Your last four digits are 6184. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Joyce from Baltimore.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning. I first of all wanted to be a spirit of encouragement. I hesitated to push the button because you're on such a good roll that I didn't want to interrupt. So I was trying to figure when the right time was. But I just wanted to encourage you that you're doing a phenomenal job. You spoke on the spirit of depression, and the operative in that is that it's a spirit. It's a spirit not of God. Okay, so victory is ours, but we do have to fight the good fight of faith in that spirit. And praying in the morning and binding those spirits that the Lord promised us that they would be on the outskirts of our spirits, always trying to kill, steal, and destroy. But the victory is ours, and so we have to push through depression. We're in a war, and this war is so real. But the thing that empowered me most when I realized that it was a spirit, not of God, and that's when I was able to come off all of my antidepressant pills and all of the things that I've been doing all my life, and I'm 68, okay? But when I found out, when I heard the preacher say, and I'm sure he'd said it many times, but when he said it was a spirit, not of God, part of that which has come to kill, steal, and destroy. For some reason, my ears heard it, and it went into my heart and down into the recesses of my spirit. And so I still suffer from periodic depression, as you say, or those black clouds and all of those things that you talk about. But I know I'm in a war, and I got to fight through it. And so I just wanted to encourage you to go forth and just keep on. You're doing a phenomenal job, and I know the apostle's so proud of you, but I wanted you to know that I was. So continue
Amen.
On. Know that I am one of your cheerleaders out here.
Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate that. And thank you for even sharing, you know, what you went through suffering from depression. And you made a point in saying that, you know, you heard it that time and it went to your heart and down deep inside. You know, it really penetrated your heart. You heard it that time. And when that happens, that's the place where you're able to say, okay, God, I'm living for you. I'm getting rid of these pills. I'm not taking these pills no more, because, yes, it is a spirit. And we know that some people, they suffer from clinical depression. I asked the apostle one day, is it something called clinical depression? And situational depression. And, you know, she said yes, because sometimes our depression is situational. It's because something is going on in our life at that moment, and it's not so much that you've been diagnosed per se from a physician or something, and now you have medication for it. But sometimes our situations can cause us to be depressed. But still, it's still a spirit. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I do want to forewarn people, do not just come off of your medication. Okay?
Right.
It is a process in the natural, and because we're two-thirds natural, do not come off your antidepressant without supervision from a professional. Unless, you know, God can do miraculous things, but unless you clearly have heard from God, do not come off of your medication without doing it the proper way.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
You're welcome. Thank you. Amen. All right. So the next reason, this is number five, it says prayer gives us power over evil. Can physical strength help us overcome obstacles and challenges in the spiritual realm? No. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Ephesians 6:12. But in prayer, even the physically weak can become strong in the spiritual realm. As such, we call upon God to grant us power over evil. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And then Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So that goes back to our flesh. Like, our spirit wants to do the right thing, but our flesh is continually speaking, wanting us to do the wrong thing. And so if our spirit is still with the things of Christ, you know, it won't be so easy for us to become, it won't be so easy for us to follow the flesh. So if the word of God has become a part of your heart, has become a part of your daily way of living, prayer has become a part of your daily way of living, then yes, the flesh going to always try us, but turn away from it. It's easier for us not to submit to our flesh, and it's basically not that hard for us to submit to the word of God, because we've already been built up in it, and so it's there, and we're going to follow. It's easier for us to follow God's word and not our flesh. The next prayer point is prayer is always available. This point is covered separately in another article, but in short, another reason to pray is because prayer is always available to us. Nothing can keep us from approaching God in prayer except our own choices, and that is true. Nothing can keep us from approaching God in prayer except our own choices. So we still have a choice. And God does not force himself on us or make us, you know, do what it is that he says for us to do. So we as, you know, our flesh, us, it can stand in the way of what God wants for us. Get out of the way. But sometimes we allow our choices to direct us and guide us when we should rely on what God wants for us, because he knows our ending from our beginning. He created us, so he already knows where we're going in life. He already knows what we're going to experience. He already knows our reactions. He already knows that we're going to be disobedient or obedient. He already knows all of this because he is our creator. So it's best that we follow him. It's best that we let his will become our will, because he already knows all these things. But again, our flesh can speak to us so much that we decide to follow our flesh, because that's what feels right at the moment. But the consequences of it is something, you know, once it's there, then we go back to God like, God, what is going on? Why did this happen? Why didn't you do A, B, and C? Blah, 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 blah. But we already had what we needed from him. And again, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on us. He's going to allow us to make the choice to follow him or not. But again, there are consequences in not following him. So that's the thing. That's the thing with that. Amen. Reason number seven, prayer keeps us humble before God. Humility is a virtue God desires in us. Prayer reminds us that we are not in control, but God is, thus keeping us from pride. Matthew 18:4 says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So humility is what God desires in us. And so there may be times where we're going through something, we may have to we may be in a situation where we can't react the way we want to react, but we're humble in the situation, you know, God sees that. And he desires that for us, not to always want to be right, not to always have the last word, not to always think that we know more than the next person, but be humble. Even if it may be sometimes where you absolutely know you're right, but you may just have to fall back and allow that person to speak and not take it personally. You know, our growth depends on us. It depends on us. It doesn't depend on our, it depends on our parents when we're little, but when we're adults, you know, it depends on us. So we can't continue to blame others for what happened if we didn't play our own part in it. Amen. Again, you're listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. My name is Minister Tabika Garnes, and I am your host for today. And we are about the importance of prayer. And so just sharing why we should pray, that prayer is an act of obedience to God. Prayer changes things, and prayer is the answer to everything that we ever need. So our next reason is prayer grants us the privilege of experiencing God. Through prayer, we obtain an experiential basis for our faith. We do not ignore the intellect or reasons for faith, but prayer makes our experience of God real on an emotional level. And I'm going to just go through these because we're winding down. But number 9 says, answered prayer is a potential witness. If our prayer is answered, it can serve as a potential witness for those who doubt. So let's stop there for a second. It says, if our prayer is answered, so whatever it is that you're praying about, and there are others around you that know that you're praying for something specific because you shared, you know, well, this is what I'm believing God for, and this is what I've been praying for. But then the other person that you're talking to, there is doubt because it's something that they may have gone through or are going through and don't believe that God is going to see them through. So when it happens to you, it gives that person hope that it will happen for them too. And so that spirit of doubt will begin to leave because now they've seen the same God that they're praying to answer your prayer. And so there's hope now that God will do the same for them. That's why we are to testify and share our stories with people. The next one is prayer strengthens the bonds between believers. Prayer not only strengthens our relationship with God, but when we pray with other believers, prayer also strengthens the bonds between fellow Christians. Amen, 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 amen. And that is what's supposed to go on in the body of Christ. Not only does prayer strengthen our relationship with God, but when we pray with others, it helps them to be strengthened as well. Prayer, number 11, is prayer can succeed where other means have failed. Have all your options been exhausted? Prayer can succeed where other means have failed. Prayer should not be a last resort, but our first response. But there are times when sincere prayer must be offered in order to accomplish something. And then number 12, this is the last one. Prayer fulfills emotional needs. Do we need God through prayer? Yes, we do. We were made to function best emotionally in a prayer relationship with God. As C.S. Lewis puts it, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. Prayer then has its reasons, and they are many. So, you know, there are the importance of prayer, and with these 12 reasons, it allowed us to see, you know, what actually is the reason for prayer. You know, what actually takes place when we pray, how people are changed, how people are strengthened, how people are given hope. You know, prayer could be our anchor to hold on to keep us grounded, you know. Prayer is the answer for everything that we could ever imagine. Everything that we can ever imagine, prayer is the answer. I don't care what anybody says. Prayer is the answer. And just the fact that Jesus prayed regularly, he went off to places by himself. He got up early in the morning while it was still dark. You know, he made sure that he had that prayer time with the Father by himself. He prayed with his disciples. You know, his strength helped the disciples, you know, get through to understand, you know, why they were to walk with him. And so prayer releases so many things into our spirits. We get answers from just believing, you know, the word of God and listening, talking to God, communicating with him, him being our power source. It's vitally important that we stay connected in prayer, stay in communication with God in prayer. You know, make that time to spend before him in prayer is vitally important. So when I first started the show, I briefly mentioned the little girl that was shot in Baltimore in a car. I'm not sure whose car it was, if it was her parents' car, don't know at this moment. I don't know at this moment. It may be some more information, but, you know, she's in the hospital. She's fighting for her life. And I just wanted to lift this little girl up in prayer on the air, hopes that someone else is listening and will lift her up in prayer too. Her name is Taylor, and she's 7 years old. So I just want to petition, you know, God for her recovery. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we lift Taylor before you. We lift her parents before you in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, we pray that you are with her even now in that hospital room during these surgeries that she has to get done, Lord God. Lord, we pray that her angels, Lord God, are watching over her, that no additional hurt, harm, or danger comes near her, Lord God. God, we thank you for the physicians and the nurses that will be handling her, God. No transference of spirits, Lord God. Nothing, Father God, that would little girl from coming through, Father, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, we just pray life into her right now in the name of Jesus, God. Life, that she will live and not die. Life, Lord God, that even when she comes out of this, Lord God, that spirit of fear won't rest on her, that she will go back to being this bubbly little girl that they say that she is, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that she will have stories of visitations from you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, she will share with her parents and cause them to come to Christ, Lord God, if they don't already know you. Lord God, we just thank you for the healing, Lord God, that's taking place in her body even now in the name of Jesus, God. And we don't know why this happened. We don't understand it. God, a lot of us, Lord God, are just sick and tired of the violence that keeps taking place, Lord God, but we still know that you are in control, Lord God, and we know that you see, we know you hear, we even know that you know who did it. God, we even pray for that person or persons right now, God, that they would turn themselves in, Lord God, knowing that they shot a little girl, an innocent little girl, Lord God, that they would turn themselves in, God, that they would even draw close to you, Lord God, because of this situation. God, we know that you are faithful to your word, and we know that you hear us in prayer, and we know that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And so, Father, we ask that you be all this little girl needs you to be, that you pull her through, that there will be total and complete healing, Lord God, and there shall be no remnant of what she endured. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us here on Heart to Heart, and we look forward to coming together again next Saturday. Everyone, enjoy your day. Bye-bye.